You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. Action takers, let's dive in. I'm Trish Blackwell, your host of the Confidence Podcast. With this, you are listening to episode 277 about why beating yourself up doesn't work and how to change that. So first, maybe you've never listened to the show before, and I want to welcome you if you're a new listener. I want to welcome you back if you're a returning listener. You are an action taker. You're part of the Be More tribe. I like to call everyone who listens to the show action takers, dream chasers. And you know why? Because for me, everything in my life changed when I stopped overthinking, when I stopped trying to be perfect, when I stopped worrying about what other people thought, when I stopped judging myself so fiercely. And the way I stopped doing that was by taking more action, by just saying, you know, I'm going to keep stepping forward. I stopped obsessing about the finish line and the future and started finding the ability to have joy and to celebrate the present. So action taker, if you can just let that become part of your identity, I can guarantee you it will change your productivity. It's going to change how you are as a parent, how you are as a person, how you are as an entrepreneur, how you are in your workouts and your nutrition. I mean, you just, every day I go, you know, did I take action? It's very easy to get overwhelmed with the to-do list. It's very easy to feel like you're behind or you're not enough. But for me, when I look at my planner and I go at the end of the day and I do my gratitude journal and I reflect, I go, did I take action on something? And if the answer is yes, then you guys, that's a day well lived. And it gives me the freedom to live with joy and confidence and courage. So you're an action taker. If there's anything you get from today's episode, I hope it's that. You know what action takers also do? They don't worry about what everyone else is doing. They don't compare their businesses or their branding on Instagram to anyone else. They don't worry about the numbers. They don't worry about if somebody on the outside looks like their family life is happier than theirs, because they understand that social media is often a highlight reel. They just take action on how to make their relationships better, themselves better, their lives better, and their impact more profound. So this episode in particular, like I said, we're talking about why beating yourself up doesn't work and how to change that. And so we're going to talk about why we actually beat ourselves up in the first place, how to stop the silly madness of the self-sabotaging that this cycle creates. And you guys, it legitimately is silly what we do to ourselves. And then we're going to talk about the step-by-step process of letting go of self-criticism. So beating yourself up, what it is, it's just hyper-self-criticism. And what I've found in my own experience in my life, but also as a coach and personal trainer and accountability coach for the last 15 years, is that we use, oh, I'm just hard on myself, as this like justification that it's okay to be a bully. We sort of justify and allow to permeate our self-sabotaging behaviors by just saying, well, I'm not tough on everybody else, it's just me. And I want to call spade a spade, because the reality is that how we think about ourselves is how we often think about others. And I lived in this lie for way too long, and it's shameful to admit, but I used to say, oh, no, I think everybody's beautiful, I'm just really tough on myself. Well, that's not true. How we treat others is stems from foundationally how we treat ourselves. And you know what? You're never going to have more conversations in your life than with your thoughts with yourself. The thoughts that you have in your head are the most important conversations you could ever have in your entire life. So I want to challenge you to one, first and foremost, let go of, if you're somebody that you're like, yeah, check. I definitely beat myself up. Check. Yeah, I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself. Check. Yeah, definitely want to be perfect. And this is an episode for you and a coaching session for you. Before we dive in real quick, I want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by my partnership with Beauty Counter. The reason you can get this coaching for free is because I partner strategically with other parts of my business. And my business with Beauty Counter is one of my favorite things that I do. And Beauty Counter is a company on a mission to get safer products in the hands of everyone. Beauty Counter has brought a whole new level of health to my household. And you guys know I'm obsessed about physical health, fitness health, mental health, emotional health, And this matters too. What you put on your skin, which is your largest organ, gets absorbed into your bloodstream within 26 seconds. And you guys, if you pay attention to the clean food you eat or anything else that you do, if you're mindful about your activity and your workouts, but you're not paying attention to the products that you use, I would challenge you to take a look at the labels. I would challenge you to read my post on Beauty Counter, which you can find at trishblackwell.com/beautycounter, and just start doing your own research on how you should and could switch to Safer and the impact it will make. And I'll tell y'all, the biggest one of the most moving movies I ever watched was a documentary on Netflix called The Human Experiment. So if you've got a Netflix account, kick back. Hopefully it's a rainy day where you're at. You can kick your feet up on the couch and I'm telling you, it's worth your time. And if you just know you needed some Safer products and you're ready for some clean beauty, go get yourself some clean beauty. Go to beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell to order. So let's talk about why we beat ourselves up in the first place. And in researching for this episode and doing, you know, I like to do some soul searching and really prepare and based on my experience and my clients and knowing the feedback I've heard from you all on what's going to most serve you. We beat ourselves up because of a variety of false self-limiting beliefs. We have this belief that we need to be perfect. We have a belief that we need to prove our worth. We have a belief that it's not okay to make mistakes. We have a belief that we need to know everything, that we need to be qualified, right? We have to be ready it's the static belief that we have to know everything or be capable of knowing everything versus looking at it as we need to be ready to learn, right? Capable of learning. We have this belief that everyone else but us has it quote unquote figured out. We have a belief that the highlight reels on social media are people's real lives, and they're not, you guys. We have a belief that holding on to toxic parts of our upbringing really define us, that things that happened in our past that should not have happened to us, that weren't God's plan for us, right? That we're just tragic, evil things that happened to us are just circumstances that were heartbreaking. There's a lot of pain in a lot of our pasts, but we hold on to that and let it define our futures, and it doesn't need to. That's a false belief. We have a belief that we need to earn our place in this world. I know that's a belief I struggled with for a long time. We have a belief that our voice doesn't matter unless it's certain, in a certain conformed way. We have a belief that we can't trust ourselves. That was definitely one for me. We have a belief that we'll be found out, so to speak, as imposters, or a belief that we aren't really lovable, or a belief that we need to be doing, quote, better than we are, and that has been pressured on my life significantly, like for 20 years. Or we have a belief that when we are perfect, then we can be happy. And I want to speak first to the happiness. If you have a belief system around your happiness that you don't yet deserve happiness, I want you to stop this episode. Go ahead and listen to last week's episode, which is episode number 276, just in whatever podcast player you listen to, or if you're on my website, trishblackwell.com/276. And we talk in that whole episode, it's a whole coaching episode. Happiness deserved its full episode on how to take responsibility for it so that you can change the belief, this false self-limiting belief until you're perfect or until circumstances change, that you can't experience or feel or control your level of happiness. But I wanted to share with you guys that I be used to, and I have a propensity to do it still, because let's be honest, you guys, I'm 35 and I really started on this self-growth journey probably at 24. So I've really only been very intentional about my thoughts and my heart and my actions and my high performance habits and my true quality of life and joyful, beautiful living, and my confidence for the last 11 years, right? So I'm going up against 24 years of old thinking, of really deep roots of that I'm trying to weed out. So don't be discouraged in your process. I say that to you, to encourage you, because we're all growing. And I think sometimes when you've worked on growth for so long and you see an old thought come in, or maybe you fall into old behavior and you're like, wait, what? I kicked this to the curb 10 years ago. beating yourself up does not solve it. Like, it's the whole topic today. But we go back and we beat ourselves up. And instead, I want to encourage you to look at it as just a reminder of, wow, look how far I come. This feels awful to feel this way. And I used to feel this way all the time. I only feel this way 1% of the time, 2% of the time. And now I've got mindset strategies and I to move into a new space and pass this. And so I wanted to share that with you so you don't think that this is just a one and done. This is a continual renewal of your mind and renewal of your mindset and of your decision to be an action taker, to be a dream chaser. You don't, it's just not a one day thing. So for me, I used to beat myself up over everything. I mean, anything that wasn't perfect. If I didn't have perfect grades, if I wasn't perfect size two, if I was socially awkward, I definitely could not tell jokes well. I was good at laughing at people's jokes, but you know, I was definitely socially awkward, and I beat myself up over how I looked. I bullied the heck out of myself and hated myself. Like, I took beating yourself up to a whole new level over my shameful eating secrets. I was petrified and mortified and ashamed of the fact that I would binge eat and that I would hide at night or that I would come up with excuses. I had friends doing all these fun things and I had overeaten and I had binged and I had purged and I had self-sabotaged, and then I felt I didn't have space on the earth, right? And that's when all my friends would go do something and say, hey, do you want to go for a walk? Would you like to do ice cream? Or we're going to do this fun thing. I mean, an amusement park. And I would have so much shame, so much guilt, and feel so awful that I would hide from the world. I would put my hooded sweatshirt on and stay in my dorm room. And I say dorm room because that really spanned 8 years of my life. I went to boarding school and then to college. So that's 8 years. There's a lot of opportunity for me to hide. And I was ashamed of the fact that I knew that the self-sabotaging I was doing with my food and my body image was actually sabotaging me socially. And I craved that happiness. And I saw this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm legitimately tearing my whole life apart. And then when I would be like, okay, well, at least I got good grades. Well, then the grades wouldn't come out because I put so much pressure on myself. I don't know if that resonates, but I just wanted to share that there are so many easy ways that we beat ourselves up. And I wanted to show with you, at least from my story, how they just really sneakily intertwine. And, you know, for me also, I had so much, I beat myself up over imposter syndrome, over my weight, over my hair. I hated my hair so much in my life. And, you know, it's like, why? So what? Like, get over it, Trish. Like, just accept what you have and find a way to make that an amazing part of you. I beat myself up over my personalities, my quirkiness, my interests. I hated the fact that I loved psychology and French and confidence and fitness. I wanted to like biology, to be honest. I wanted to like biology or have interest. I wanted something that was going to give me a very set, clear route. And I wanted to like normal stuff. And I didn't want to like reading books as much as I did. And I didn't want to I wanted to be cool according to what I thought was cool in high school and college. And so my interests even drove me crazy. I'm like, I wish I was more interested in, you know, fill in the blank, because then these people would like me, or then the route would be that much easier. I'd have more clarity. But the reality is my interests were given to me by God. The things that caused my heart to be curious are their gifts and their signs that pulled me towards ultimately my purpose, my destiny, my entrepreneur journey, what's now allowing me to live my dream life as a mompreneur. I beat myself up over my family, over my parents, over what I wanted to change about them, about my relationship with them, about the fact that I couldn't fix them and make them love each other and themselves more. I beat myself up over my poor decisions. I mean, seriously, y'all, you name it, I found a way to shame myself over it. And shame is silencing. It reinforces the falsehood that you don't matter, and it makes you want to hide. Okay, which brings us now to, guys, to the real question is, how do you stop the self-sabotaging cycles? I mean, I think it's really important to first identify what is your self-bullying? What is the self-beratement that you really put yourself in a position? It's not, I think for myself, I was such a victim for so long. I had this victim powerless mentality of like, well, I'm just this way, right? I just beat myself up. It's just who I am and how I am. It's not who you are. It's not how you are. It's a behavior and a cognitive pattern that you have taught yourself as a coping mechanism, as a guide for your life. You know, we all, with the power of our thoughts, get to choose what's our compass. And that is your compass you have chosen. You can you can ditch that compass and change out compasses. And So how do you stop the self-sabotage that comes with self-criticism? I think one of the most compelling ways for me to find freedom in this was to start getting angry up at the bullies in the world. Because, okay, so if this is resonating with you, I already know that you're tough on yourself. Well, you know what happens when somebody's tough on themselves and then you find out about that another flaw is then you beat yourself up more. Because I got caught in that cycle where I was like, okay, I shouldn't be such a perfectionist, and then I'm gonna beat up, well, then I'm gonna try harder to not doing that. Oh man, I'm failing, I'm even, and then it like snowballs to I'm even worse off than I thought. So that technique didn't work for me, but one thing that worked for me and that I still have to go back and remind myself of is to get angry about the bullies in the world and then be honest about who you've been to yourself. And you've been a bully, and that's just not cool. Or is it? Like, are you cool with the bullies or are you not? Like, and if you can make a decision on a morality of that, it's not cool or kind to poke at other people, to make fun of them, to push them around, to be abusive. I mean, what's so interesting was sugarcoating this a little bit, because I'm saying, let's not bully ourselves, guys. The reality is that I know a lot of us that struggle with beating ourselves up or getting in our own ways. We're not just bullying ourselves, we're abusing ourselves. And I think most people would disagree with bullying. I think everyone is going to say abuse is wrong. So if abuse is wrong, why is it okay that you continue to abuse yourself? So I think that for me, I found a lot of freedom when I realized I was the problem and that I could fix that problem. And to realize that negative motivation doesn't work long term for almost anyone. Negative motivation of I want to do better and be better, like sometimes, or like I will sometimes say, all right, Trish, well, to follow through, if you don't do this, then you don't get that. Like that sometimes I think in a short term period, using negative motivation can work, right? But I generally speaking, Why go in the negative when you can always ride the positive? So it doesn't work long term. I don't recommend it. It really puts us into a box of fear instead of setting us free into a state of flow and of thriving. Fear is not a good motivator. Fear sometimes can motivate it to get started, but it's not sustainable. And I don't know about you, but I have lived too much of my life in a state of fear, and I'm sick of it. I don't like that person. I don't like how that feels. I don't like that life. And for me, I look at life as a spectrum of fear versus love. And where there is love, there cannot be fear. But where there is fear, there can't be love. And so I spent so much of my life in that fear state that when I shifted motivators and shifted towards love, it became a much more empowering and freeing process. And that is truly what helped me break free of some of the self-sabotage that comes with self-criticism. And even to this day, you guys, now, with being in recovery from an eating disorder and body dysmorphia and all these complex issues, my self-care practices are really grounding. They are necessary. I need to continually practice self-love, self-compassion as a priority so that subconsciously I'm telling and communicating to myself that I matter and that I'm enough, because I spent years saying I wasn't enough. I knew I mattered, but I needed to prove that I mattered by being enough, right? I wanted to check the boxes and be perfect and to earn the right to be loved. And, love doesn't work like that. It's not transactional. And so for me, one of the freeing things, and what I would recommend if this is something that you struggle with, is to make a list of how beating yourself up has actually helped you. And then next, so like just get a big sheet of like, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, computer paper out, and or your favorite journal, and write on one side how beating myself up has helped me. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, I need this. Like some of us are afraid to let go, because what if I stop putting pressure on myself? Well, then I'm just going to fall off the wagon, right? I was afraid to let go of an eating disorder because I thought I would gain 300 pounds. I was afraid to let go of control and the beating myself up and the self-punishment and self-flagellation and the emotional abuse and the mental like anxiety that I lived with all the time, because I was afraid to let go because I thought the beating myself up was helping me stay disciplined. So that was what I thought how it helped me. Then what I want you to do is make a list of how it has harmed you. How has it helped you, and how has beating yourself up harmed you? How has it harmed you? How has it discouraged you? How has it derailed you? How has it put you into an all or nothing loop of behavior that maybe you still feel like you're like a in a tennis match going back and forth between behaviors? How has it made you feel less than, unworthy, or unprepared for life? Right? And for me, seeing the stark difference between how I thought beating myself up and being hard on myself and, you know, having high standards, this, like, I sugarcoated it and made it seem that it was appropriate, high standards for myself, that how that helped me when I made that list and realized that was just, there was like, I could find one thing on that list and I found like 100 things on the list of how it harmed me, discouraged, derailed, put me into all or nothing behavior and sabotaging behavior, made me feel less than, made me feel unworthy. I was very, very cognitively able to go, oh, this doesn't serve me. This I thought was helping me. I thought it was one of the tools of being a high performer. And really it's setting me back. And so that helped me make emotional decisions to stop being so mean to myself. And again, once I decided to stop being so mean to myself, it wasn't easy. It's still a process. It still is a process. It's still behavior I'm trying to continually learn. And it's a practice. And for me, I realized that I was making life and my goals way harder than it needed to be. It was way more stressful, way more challenging, way more pressured. And eventually I changed because I got desperate. I mean, I looked at that list of how it's harming me and how it was helping me. And I figured like, well, I've done it this way for so long and I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm not stressed. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not living in my purpose. I feel anxious all the time. I'm stressed all the time. I'm insecure all the time. Self-doubting, self-guessing, second-guessing. What do I have to lose? And so sometimes some of our greatest change, our deepest changes happen when we realize what I'm doing isn't serving me. What do I have to lose trying something different? And it felt crazy. It felt scary. It felt really weird to be nice to myself. Think about it. It'd be like you're the meanest person in the world, your worst bully, your worst enemy, all of a sudden going, hey, let's be friends now. So please know that this is like a transition. You have to first off start to get to know yourself and then start getting used to saying in the morning, waking up and going, hey, hey, good looking. Hey, gorgeous. Good to see you. It's going to be a terrific day. Start speaking in a way that you would speak to a friend. You mean, and truly build that person up as if they're a friend and as if you cared about them and as if you held them to the standards of a normal human being, which, you know, we have these, for me, I had to kind of get over this pride of this attachment to these, oh, high standards I had. They didn't help me. Like, they didn't make me happier, and they certainly didn't help me live out who God wanted me to be. So I want to encourage you as you start to get to know yourself as a friend, as you start to learn what kind of self-care serves you best and how to be kind to yourself. But I also, knowing that you might be somebody who has a propensity to beat yourself up, I want to give you a big timeline for this. This is a lifelong journey. This isn't next week going to be fixed. This isn't, you know, I want you to celebrate each step, each progressive growth, but this is a process. This is learning how to be friends with yourself, learning to be kind, and it comes with trial and error. So don't you dare beat yourself up for not doing this well. This is not going to feel normal. It's going to feel awkward to start, and you're not going to do good at it. How cool is it that we're going with low standards, right? Cut yourself a break. Let's have lower standards as you grow into this so that, one, you can learn to let go and go, I just have to be a little bit kinder to myself. I'm just going to practice this and try this out. And I know sometimes I'm going to do really well at it and sometimes I'm not. And that's cool. Like, I don't have to have any judgment. There's no one judging you here. So let's give ourselves a break from judging ourselves in the process. Okay, guys. So such an overwhelming process. And such a different approach, right? Especially if you spent years, potentially decades, being mean to yourself, right? And you're not going to beat yourself up for being mean. We've already established that. I wanted to give you a step-by-step process of letting go of self-criticism. And, you know, I really want to encourage you, if you have big dreams, which we all do, I think you have a God-sized dream on your heart. The way you pursue that, the way you take action is to be free of self-criticism. You're the only one holding you back. I think it's so imperative that if you've got a dream on your heart, a book to write, a business to build, an impact to make, that you make kindness your foundation. Love is your foundation. And you don't have space in your life for self-criticism anymore. I mean, I think that can be a very, very freeing proclamation and declaration for your life. So here are 10 steps to help you let go of self-criticism. Number one, give yourself permission to change. So give yourself permission to change, to say, I've always been this way, but I'm capable of change. It's okay to try something new. I give myself permission to be a new me. Number two, acknowledge that what you've done isn't working. So go back to that list that we just talked about, the harm versus helping, and acknowledge that what you've potentially been doing hasn't been bringing you joy, success, satisfaction, peace, and then say, okay, it's okay to try something new. Number three, ask for help. You know, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but help is the hardest word in the English language to say. Asking for help is so huge, and I've sought help in so many ways through my church, through my my own coaching, through therapy, through my parents, through my husband, through friends, through just prayer. But acknowledging that you need help does not make you weak. It is quite the opposite. It is proof of your strength. Number four, get support and accountability. So, I mean, for me, having the support of a coach, having the support of people who knew that I was in a process of becoming a new person, of being kinder, of not beating myself up. And, you know, even when I made mistakes during my time dating my husband, I would say, and here's small example, but this shows you how intentional I had to be about my growth. I got a ticket when we were on a budget. We were on a tight budget and trying to save and for our wedding, and I was at the end of a really long work day. I can remember driving my car. Like, I remember coming off the freeway and slowing down to a stop or backcountry roads, and I didn't come to a stop fully. Like, I rolled through this right turn stop sign because I saw it was dark out. There was no lights coming. Well, there was a cop waiting for me, and because I did, I deserved a ticket. I should have stopped on the stop sign. And I was in tears about it. I was in tears because it was a $200 ticket at a time when we were on a very, very tight budget. And I got home, and actually Brandon was just staying for the weekend, and because we weren't married yet, we didn't live together before we were married. And he I remember saying to him, I'm not having Starbucks for a full month, and I'm going to do this. I had proven to myself how I was going to make $600 back to make up for this $200 mistake, and literally just beat myself up emotionally all the whole weekend. And he was like, why are you, it's just a ticket, babe. Yeah, but I'm smarter than this. I know better than this. And he's like, it's okay. And he goes, I'm going to challenge you. We're going to Starbucks tomorrow. You're getting whatever you want. Because you do not need to punish yourself for a mistake in this way. Like, you learned your lesson. I think that's punishment enough. So when I talk to you about like how to get accountability, that's a way that I had communicated to my then fiance, right? Hey, I'm working on being kinder to myself. I'm working on not being so self-critical. I'm working on letting go, right? And that was one small example. So another way you can get accountability and support is working with a coach and someone like myself, or get yourself in a group coaching like the College of Confidence, or there's lots of other great programs out there. All right, number five, I love this. Keep a champagne moments journal. So champagne moments journal is a place where you track what's going well, what you are doing well, what you should give yourself a pat on the damn back for, right? Like, I think for me, like a champagne moment today as a mom, like I took 2 minutes to curl my hair, y'all. Champagne moment, right? I'm feeling a little tired, feeling a little off today, but I'm going to recognize rather than criticize myself for saying, oh, you could have done this, you should have done that, you're behind. No, I look good. I got cute curls in, and they're falling out because it's rainy, but it doesn't matter. Champagne moment. Start noticing the things that are beautiful, the things that you can say, good for me. And those are small things like curling your hair or giving yourself that freedom to take a longer shower, or like, you know, real self-nurturing. Or it could be something big of like, I had the courage to email somebody that I admire today to say thank you. Or something that you don't have control over the results of. Hey, maybe you had the confidence to say, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like I'm ready, but I know I deserve a raise at work, and I'm gonna suck it up, have 5 seconds of courage, and ask for a raise, or ask for my boss to have a meeting. That's a champagne moment. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. What comes of it, what matters is that you showed up. So champagne moments are often showing up for yourself in different ways and at different levels. All right, our sixth step-by-step process of letting go of self-criticism is taking responsibility for taking more action. You know, we talked about this at the beginning. I really think taking action is game changing, and seeing yourself as an action taker changes everything. So it's time to take responsibility for that, right? And that kind of frees you from past patterns of overthinking, procrastination, stalling, unworthiness. You just go, whoa, whoa, whoa. My job's to take action. That's it. My job's to show up. My job is to show up as my best. I'm gonna do that, and that's enough. And that when you can tell yourself that that's enough, that's when you can let go of that self-criticism. Step seven, realize that people don't care as much as you think that they do. Y'all, for real, we are so self-critical and we're so worried what everyone thinks, and everyone else is worried about that same thing. And so we're all spending all of our emotional and mental energy worrying about all this stuff that we're on these little separate islands of ridiculousness. No one is looking at you and judging you the way that you think that they are. And even when you mess up, one of my things, recently when we were in France, I had the biggest faux pas in French. Like, we were at this beautiful wedding, and you guys, I consider myself pretty fluent in French. I'm speaking to my children for fun in French and trying to raise them as bilingually as I can. And I'd had some champagne, and we were at dinner, and this beautiful, amazing dinner, and great conversation, and a waitress came up behind me and took my cheese plate away from me before I was ready. And I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, because I'm so torn up about this. Like, this rocked my confidence in my language skills for such a long time. And I said something not rude, not intentionally rude, but I used a tense that wasn't appropriate for somebody who I didn't know, right? So I used a to version instead of a vous version. And I basically said to her, whoa, don't take my cheese, which in America, like, to somebody that I had already been chatting with, totally appropriate. Oh, no, don't take my cheese, I'm not ready. But I was in conversation and I really loved this cheese and foie gras. And it was just like, I'm so used to speaking to my daughter and, hey, don't do this, like, in a quick reactive French, that she went, oh, and she made like a fake funny like reaction of like, oh, sorry, madame. And then my French friends around me apologized to her for me. They said, oh, no, she's American. She didn't realize how rude she was. And then, you guys, I was mortified. I like legitimately went into tears, found her later, was so like over the top. Like, I am so sorry. I promise you, I like did not mean to be rude or condescending. I so appreciate what you do. I didn't mean to be dismissive. Or I said, I speak to my 2-year-old in French. That's the most French I use on a consistent basis. It just came out naturally. She was like, it's fine. I cried for like a month about that, beating myself up because I embarrassed myself. And I thought that people are going to, no one probably, I guarantee you that waitress does not remember that, right? Unless she remembers the fact that, wow, this American was so sensitive and she felt bad that she thought that there was a perceived rudeness to what she said because she's a foreigner and she had a faux pas, right? But I beat myself up out of just this, like, oh, you should have known better, Trish. Like, you should think through what you say. And you guys, the reality is that, do you think she really cares about that and she's judging me still, like, on another continent? 3 months later, no, it should not be a reflection on me. And so I think for me, it's realizing in big scenarios and in small scenarios like that, people don't care as much as you think that they do. You can say something, tell a stupid story, a bad joke. No one really is holding on to it the way that you are. Easier said than done, though, for real. Okay, so again, but that's for me one of my struggles of self-criticism is wanting to not have those social faux pas, right? And wanting to be like, oh, our French is perfect. No, I make tons of mistakes, right? Being okay with that and that's growth. All right, number 8, get obsessed with kindness. And I mean kindness all around, kindness towards others and kindness towards yourself. If you want to be free from self-criticism, it is absolutely essential that you learn how to be kind to yourself. And if you go back into my archives, go to my website, go to trishblackwell.com/podcasts, type in kindness. I did a whole episode on, I know I've done at least one, it might be two, on kindness. One is called, I think it's called the kindness card. It's probably 3 or 4 years old. And it was done in tribute to my grandmother, who was the most kind human being I've ever known. And it's inspiring to me to think about kindness and how I can leverage that up in my life. And I've seen in the past 5 years since I've been working on kindness, how it's changed my mindset and my level of self-criticism and self-sabotage. So that I really do think it's a crazy powerful concept to maximize. Number now, 9, you guys have heard me say this before, but ground yourself in gratitude. Make gratitude the start of your day, the end of the day, and what you're grounded in. Because you know what you can't do? You can't rock somebody who's grateful. You can't, you know what self-criticism does? It destroys us, it derails us, it discourages us, it makes us give in. Someone in gratitude who's flowing in gratitude is never gonna give in. You can't shake the joy. You can't rock them. Things can come there. You can make faux pas, make mistakes, fall flat on your face, have lots of things to beat yourself up over. But if you're grateful, it doesn't matter. You're like, hey, what a cool, everything gets flipped and powerful when you have gratitude. Hey, what a great opportunity to practice growing. What a great opportunity to practice forgiving myself. What a great opportunity to learn something. There's always something to give thanks for. And then finally, the 10th step of the process of letting go of self-criticism is to build others up and build yourself up. So to do not only just building of yourself, positive mental self-talk, but also positive mental self-talk about other people. Because the chances are, if you're hypercritical of yourself, you probably are more critical of others than you think you are. And for me, that was a really humbling process to go through. I call it my ugly heart, you know, and I'm human. That's why I need God and I need salvation and I need forgiveness and grace because I had to come to terms with the fact that I was being judgmental and critical of other people. And then I was embarrassed of that. And I hated myself for that. And like, oh, like what an ugly heart. Well, I love Jesus. And that makes me even more like thankful for him. Because he's fixing my ugly heart. He's growing beauty in that, right? That's part of the cleansing process if you're a person of faith. And that the more I've learned to love others, and like every now and then I get like, I find myself, if I'm in a critical state of myself, I'll be more judgmental of others. And if I feel that, I hear that thought, I will stop it and go, no, Trish, find something beautiful in them. Like they're frustrating you right now, but man, they got something good going on. So one way to build other people up is to just catch yourself when you're not and go, whoa, I can practice building them up mentally, even though they never know the difference. I can build up myself the same way. Like I'm gonna mentally practice in all ways, because you know what I've learned is that there's an abundance of joy and things to celebrate to go around. And the more you find yourself building other people up and celebrating them and being happy for them and authentically like ecstatic for their success and their growth and their happiness and their all those, you know, amazing trips that they're taking that you wish that you were taking, you realize, wait, there's an abundance of happiness to go around. There's an abundance of beauty. I don't have to feel this scarcity mindset, because I honestly, you guys, self-criticism often stems from a scarcity mindset, and it just isn't true. Y'all, I want you to know that there's an abundance of everything we need in this world. I do think there's some scarcity of love, so it's our responsibility to show up and love more, and that's loving ourselves more and loving others more. So let's show up. Just in review, those 10 steps are: 1, give yourself permission to change. 2, acknowledge that what you've been doing isn't working. 3, ask for help. 4, get support and accountability. 5, keep a champagne moments journal. 6, take responsibility for taking more action. 7, realize that people don't care as much as you think that they do. 8, get obsessed with kindness all around. 9, ground yourself in gratitude. And 10, build yourself up, build others up, and know that there's abundance to go around. So I want to close out today. We're closing out the end of July. July's been a pretty special month here in the College of Confidence, my group coaching program. I've had a lot of questions recently about who's the College of Confidence for. It's for anyone who has big dreams, anyone who knows that they're getting in their own way for whatever reason. Maybe it's body confidence issues, maybe it's self-doubt about your business, but you know that if you could just deepen your belief and your ability to take more action, that you could get to where you want to go. It's for you. And specifically this past month in the College of Confidence, we have been working on total body confidence and how feeling amazing in our skin really releases us to be able to go and chase our dreams with more confidence, more surety, and more courage. And so if you have ever struggled with your image in the mirror or feel like you've constantly been itching with your own skin, then I want you to stop everything you're doing and come and jump into the College of Confidence. You can join today. It'll take about 2 minutes. You're gonna hear from me personally. We connect as a group. We connect, you get coaching videos, you get live support from me. I will answer any question you have. And I really, truly care and love my college members. Like, you guys are, they are my family, and you, I want to celebrate you and help you overcome any of the self-criticism and beating yourself up that happens to be maybe holding you back. If this episode resonated with you, and if you're ready to just like, I need a change, college might be the change you need. It's $47 a month. Cancel anytime. I wanted to create a program that truly has no risk and no big commitment so that you could be kind enough to yourself to invest in yourself. I know that's hard. It's one of those baby steps of kindness. So you can go check that out and ask me any questions. By the way, if you have any questions, shoot me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com, and I'll let you know if I think it's a good fit for you or not. But you can enroll if you know you're ready. I'll see you on the inside there. I can't wait to connect with you and learn more about you at trishblackwell.com/college. And by the way, you guys, I wanted to let you know I am connecting more on Instagram. So if you're active on Instagram, I'm more active. I'm excited. I'm having a lot of fun with my Instagram stories. You can connect with me on Instagram at @Trish_Blackwell. So our listener of the episode is Sunny. And she said, hey, Trish, I've been thinking about sending you this for the past few weeks or so, but I haven't really sat down to take the time and put thought into until now. I just wanted to say thank you for the content this month. It's been really helpful to help me gain some perspective and take a hard look at how I've handled my insecurities, or in some cases don't handle them. And you know, you don't even have to respond to this. I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you and all that you do. I saw what you posted earlier this month about all the battles you've been facing with pink eye, Ellie getting lice, Baker getting hand, foot, mouth, the refrigerator breaking, your technology breaking. It seemed like the list always kept going, right? Well, we had the same thing happen to us this month. We recently moved to a better location, a better neighborhood, which of course is ideal. Until you factor in that there's no hot water, washer, dryer, the bed frame literally broke in the move, and we were sleeping on sleeping bags on the floor. Our furniture was delayed in delivery, and so we were sitting in lawn chairs on the inside, and the fridge stopped working. Literally everything that could go wrong did. And I just watched the video that you posted 2 weeks ago about using discouragement to move forward to fuel you. This honestly changed my whole headspace, and I can promise you will change my next week. Looking back, I just ignored all the stress and energy from the moving things and tried to chug along in school. Fortunately, my grades did not fall, but my confidence and self-care did take a plummet. And I mean plummet. But your video helped me see that it wasn't everything else that was doing this to me. It was my avoiding the issue of dealing with the stress and not engaging in self-care. Once I really sat down today and journaled through that video, asking and answering some questions that you had given, you really helped me see that I am adequate and capable and have everything I already need. I just needed more courage, which I can do by labeling correctly in deciding whether or not my thoughts are true or not. Again, I wanted to say you don't even have to respond to this. I just wanted you to know what a difference you're making in my improvement journey and how much I needed your words. I hope things are going better for you. I love listening to the sidelines of what's going on in your life and in all your adventures. May you have a peaceful week. So, Sunny, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that feedback. And you guys may not know, but Sunny is one of our members in the College of Confidence. And I just love that you just sat down and journaled, and you sat down and answered the questions and took control of your thoughts and realized, you know, we're not going to ever be perfect in our activation of our high level habits and our confidence habits and our happiness habits. But it's what Sunny did. It's when you notice it plummeting and the way that you're feeling changing, that you then re-harness that and leverage it up for good, that you then remind yourself of that labeling things correctly, that you just need more courage. And how do you have more courage? You have more courage by showing up, by having a coach, by being reminded of the truth. And so, you know, if you need more courage, if you want more support, you know where to go. You know where to go. Come hang out with me and Sunny in the college. And Sunny, I'm just proud of you and all the growth that you're doing. And it's all about perspective, baby, right? And I hope that today you are proud of yourself for knowing that you are enough, that you're doing enough, and that you can let go of any self-criticism that comes along the way. And you guys, sometimes we're just self-critical of the life that we, of the circumstances we have around us. Be empowered. Use the step-by-step process. You guys, if this episode resonated with you and you're encouraged, make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave me a review, share the episode with a friend. Let's build a movement of action takers and dream chasers. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com.
If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.